Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Victoria Bennion, and the founder of the Victoria Bennion Podcast Booking Agency. And you're listening to The Best Guest, the podcast for business owners, creatives, and entrepreneurs who want to harness the power of podcasts to grow their platforms and increase their visibility. We're here to support you on your journey, bringing you actionable tips with each episode. Now, let's begin. Welcome to the podcast, Les. It's so lovely to have the chance to chat with you today.
Thank you for having me on this lovely spring evening.
Yes, it is quite a lovely spring evening. It's a nice change here. I'm not sure the weather has been like for you, but it's nice to see the sun here.
Yeah, it's not been great, but it's quite nice tonight.
Now, you're the author of the book 12 Doors, which I've just read and I really enjoyed it. It's got such a great pace. For anyone who's listening who hasn't read it yet, could you tell us a little bit about what the book's about, please?
Yes, of course, I'll do my best. 12 Doors is a fictional, based on fact, novel around 12 on-call firefighters here in the UK. There are around 19,000 on-call firefighters in every town, village, rural area, coastal area, up and down the UK. And they are very often the hero next door, living right in front of us, who no one ever sees, of course, until they're needed. So 12 Doors is about 12 of those firefighters who respond to anything and everything via an internal pager system, which they call an alerter.
Your own knowledge of the fire service and the police really seeps through your writing, giving it a real authenticity. How long had you been planning to write 12 Doors?
Okay, so my work history goes back some way, of course, because I'm the other side of 60 now. My fire service background began when I was 20. I stayed within that type of industrial firefighting role up until the mid-90s when I became a police officer. The knowledge I gained from both roles and attending, of course, several courses relating to fire service and the fire service college down in Gloucestershire, as well as some many external courses, coupled with my operational experience as a police officer in uniform and in plain clothes, led me to develop 12 Doors very early on in 2020, the first year of lockdown. So that's really where it all stemmed from. My daughter's bedroom, she's 20 plus now, moved on, of course. My daughter's bedroom became the project wall one morning, and I went in there at 9 a.m. with a load of post-it notes, and by 9 p.m. the wall was full of post-it notes, and that really was the foundation building for 12 Doors.
Wow. Had you had the ideas going around in your head for a while before then?
Yeah, the retained fire service, as they're called, these on-call men and women, the technical term is retained firefighters. And they're on call, and they, as I say, the answer to the alerter. I've spent many an incident all around the clock working with those on call firefighters as a police officer, and that's the dedication I wanted to portray in 12 Doors. And I think on page 5 or 6 we have a dedication to the 19,000. So I was fully aware of how dedicated and committed and brave these men and women are, and I wanted to relay that in a novel, which of course is now published on Amazon and is out there for everyone to buy. The commitment they show is second to none, and I think they commit some of them commit to 110, 120 hours a week, which is a massive challenge to their social and family life. Of course,
I do think that comes through when your main character, Leah, is in a hospital appointment and she's on call and she has to just go. You really get it across, the commitment of these.
Yes. I mean, only this evening, I've recently nominated a long-standing on-call firefighter for an award. He's just done 35 years as an on-call firefighter in North Wales. I'm pleased to say he's been given that award. But unfortunately, he can't attend the awards night because he is one of four firefighters on call. So he can't commit to the night, so I'm being sent to pick up his award for him, which I'm obviously honoured to do so.
I'm sure, absolutely. You do a great job of balancing the action-packed scenes you've got in 12 Doors. You also explore the themes of corruption and, you know, health challenges, family issues that are going on. Was that challenging to weave in these different elements? I wondered if you had any particular tactics you used to make it all work so seamlessly.
There are, I think it's fair to say with 12 Doors, there are many layers to it. There's lots of characters in it, some in 12 Doors more than others, just like a TV show. Some actors are in the roles more than others. Life experience plays quite a big part in the narrative within 12 Doors. People, health is the most important thing we have, of course. I have had family members who sadly aren't with us anymore. So is my wife. Leah experiences a very, very similar life-changing piece of news that is delivered to her one day in the doctor's office. And of course, her world will never be the same after that news is delivered. So life experience, experience of my own family, experience of some family and friends is all drawn together to make the camouflage that is, of course, 12 Doors.
I also really enjoyed your descriptions. You make such great observations. Did you, when you were working, did you jot anything down at the time, or did you just store it away for later?
Yeah, most of the material has come from, I guess, several files and boxes I have stored between my ears. So nothing has been written down. Some things I'm able to recall information quite well. I can tell you what I was doing probably last year, the year before, 10 years ago. So my cognitive recall is quite good. And that's the filing cabinet that I used.
Well, that's really good. That's useful to be able to do that. Now, Leah Walsh is the fearless leader of the crew, and she embarks on a quest to uncover corruption. What inspired her character?
Leah Walsh, firstly, I wanted to have a lead character which was going to be a female. More and more TV shows, certainly on the British TV channels, are covered mainly with police-type dramas, such as The Responder, Trigger Point, Line of Duty, or The Bay. The Bay is set not too far from where I live. The Bay is set in Morecambe, which is a coastal town just north of Blackpool in Lancashire, really. Very, very similar to the coastal town of Rhyl, of course, which is where I live and where Stockwood-on-Sea is set. Leah Walsh's character is based on a real person. Leah Walsh entered the military at a young age, having seen the first barn fire on her early morning cycle round delivering newspapers one morning. Leah Walsh was in awe of the spectacle that morning. Leah has a choice and enters the Royal Navy and becomes a helicopter navigator slash observer. Leah leaves the Royal Navy after several years and finds herself in the retained fires, which many women, of course, do up and down the country. Leah's character, she meets a police officer. They have a child called Katie. And Leah's husband is quite a high-ranking police detective working on serious and organized crime groups. That's his role. Leah, of course, is in conflict. Leah works as a on-call firefighter, so it's not her main role. It is an on-call system which she's dedicated to. And Leah works within the local authority planning office as a planning assistant within that department. So she's juggling her work life, her family domestic life, looking after her daughter, and also looking after 11 other firefighters, excluding herself, of course. So she really is spinning plates at a vast pace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that really comes through. Now, J.K. Rowling has said that the character of Hermione in Harry Potter has several autobiographic influences. I wondered if you could say the same about any of your characters in 12 Doors.
All of the crew in 12 Doors, and the crew list is mentioned, I think, on one of the earlier pages, all of the crew have a relationship or are people I know or have known and have changed the name slightly. So they are all based on real people. One of the crew member is a firefighter called Stephen Jones, who in the book is having his hair cut when his alerter is activated and he has to leave the haircut mid conversation and respond to a fire call. Stephen Jones is my son's name. So Stephen lives in Essex at the moment. So Stephen, my son, is mentioned in the book a few times. Leah Walsh's daughter, Katie, who has a pony to look after. My daughter's name is Katie. So both of my children are mentioned in the book. All the fire crew are based on real people, real names, adjusted, of course, to keep it simple. The other character in the book, the waterman, who is the hydrant man, or the waterman as they call him, is also based on a real person. And several of the characters in the book are, again, all based on real people. I think it's worth mentioning in 12 Doors that the crew consists of 12 men and women. There are three female firefighters on the crew, with the watch manager, Leah Walsh, being the lead character in the novel, and also on the crew, of course. She's in charge of herself and the 11 other team members. There are two other females aside from Leah. There is a British Muslim male firefighter. There is a gay male firefighter. And there is an ex-British soldier who has prejudice towards the gay male firefighter, which develops and resolves itself as the story of 12 Doors develops. I think it's important that we reflect society. I've worked with all of those people over the years that I just mentioned and more. And the fire service, just like any other emergency service, the police, and the ambulance service, etc., are drawn from society. So whatever is in society is in these organizations.
Absolutely. Can you talk a bit about the settings of 12 Doors, please?
12 Doors is based on a fictional town called Stockwood-on-Sea. It is fictional. It doesn't exist. Stockwood exists, but Stockwood-on-Sea doesn't exist. As part of the research phase during 2021, when we could move around the country again to a limited degree, me and my wife and our dog went on a field trip. But the field trip was to several locations over a four-week period. We started in Morecambe, which isn't too far from where I live. Morecambe, then to Blackpool, again, local to me. Of course, I live in Rhyl, which is a coastal resort in itself. We then went to Brighton on the south coast. We went to Margate, Ramsgate, Southend-on-Sea, Clacton-on-Sea, and Scarborough. So I think we did 8 or 9 location visits around the UK. All of them, of course, fading old Victorian type resorts back in the day, of course, behind the candy floss and the blinking lights of the bingo arcades on the promenade. You go back one street or one block, as Steve Eggleston would say, and is it a whole different world of poverty, deprivation, homes of multiple occupancy, homeless people living on the streets, drug dealing, prostitution. It is all there, hiding in plain sight. And that was part of the research phase for 12 Doors and Stockwood-on-Sea.
Now, there's an incident in the book with a fire and a litter of puppies are all killed except one called Bells, who goes on to find a home with Leah. And you have gone on to write a separate book about Bells the fire dog for children. Can you tell us a bit about that, please?
Yes, of course, Victoria. The very first incident in 12 Doors that the crew go to is on a typical council estate, which are, of course, dotted all over the UK. They will be in your neck of the woods, and of course, they're in my neck of the woods. So this story of Bells, the fire dog, as you say, she's the only surviving puppy from a litter with her mother who fall foul of an arson attack to a person's address on this estate. It is a horrific thought-provoking, tear-jerking incident, which affected all of the crew, of course. Because as we know, firefighters don't just rescue people, they also rescue animals too. So it is based on Bells the Fire Dog children's book, ages 5 to 10 or 11, early readers really, is based on that first tragic incident. Bells is rescued from the inferno and is brought back to life by the crew using some oxygen therapy, which they do, of course, a little mask over its nose and mouth. It is treated by the local vet and eventually is brought home by Leah to become the family pet. Bells stays with Leah and the crew and her husband and Katie for 2 years, and she becomes almost the station mascot, where she meets the crew, of course. She goes to open days with the fire truck. She becomes the station pet. And of course, also in the fire station is a cat. So Bells becomes very friendly with the station cat called Tom. So her and Tom become initially enemies, but of course they become friends. And Tom tells Bells that he witnessed the shed burning with her mother and other puppies inside it, and how the brave firefighters did what they could to save as many as they could. So they become really good friends. And Bells, after 2 years, moves on to London, where she becomes a fire investigation dog with the London Fire Brigade. So Bells, the story of Bells concludes with her being in London as a fire investigation dog. But on that journey, I wanted to mention two strong emotions that children go through, but are often overlooked by adults. And those emotions that Bells go through, one is the feeling of loss, because she's lost her family. She loses her family in Stockwood-on-Sea again when she moves to London to put down more roots in the huge city, of course, that is the nation's capital. And the second emotion I wanted to involve with Bells was the feeling of loss and the feeling of, sorry, fear. We are all scared of something. Bells, unfortunately, is afraid of fire in her background. So Bells has to overcome that fear to become a fire investigation dog, which she does, of course. You need to have some tissues ready when you're reading Bells, because it is a bit of a tearjerker, yes.
I found 12 doors quite a lot.
That was the intention, yes. That was the intention. We wanted to almost put the reader on the fire truck, into the incidents, into the inferno, onto the bridge where there's bridge rescues, and there with the 12 firefighters. That was the intention.
Oh, you succeeded in the intention.
Thank you.
Did it take you long to write?
It was a two-year process, yes. It started really, as I said, on my daughter's wall with that project day. I then produced a 40,000-word document. I then sourced Steve Eggleston, of course, who's a co-writer of the book. I had several meetings with him in Gloucestershire. He lives near Glastonbury, North Somerset, I think it's called. Several meetings with Steve, of course. I met Michael Powell, who is another ghostwriter who's worked with me along 12 Doors. And that's where it all started, really. So 2 years was the process.
And once you'd written the book, what did your journey to publication look like?
Okay, so we've self-published via Amazon. Steve and Michael were really useful around that. They introduced me to a guy from Hampshire called James, who designed the cover for me. The cover of 12 Doors is a real-life, full-time firefighter here in North Wales. And the cover shot was filmed in Prestatyn Fire Station one afternoon. All this material was sent down to James in Hampshire, and James produced the cover of Leah Walsh with her white helmet on. She's a watch manager, so she wears a white helmet, not a yellow helmet. We have the Stockwood-on-Sea crest on top of her helmet, and she's wearing a full breathing apparatus, and she's holding an axe because she's about to break into a building. On the back of the cover, you can see Leah holding the axe a little better. So the cover design was done by James in Hampshire. All the material then, we had several drafts of 12 Doors. I think we had six or seven drafts of 12 Doors once we were all happy with it. all the material that was then sent to one of Steve's contacts in South London, who put the whole package together, and it was all sent, of course, to Amazon for Kindle Direct Publishing.
Fantastic. And you have an agent now.
Yes, the agent's been with me from early days, really. Steve Eggleston, he's an American, but don't hold that against him. He lives in the UK. He's been in the UK many years. He's married to a British lady. They live very, very close to Glastonbury, within, I guess, a stone's throw of the festival each year. I think he has free tickets because he lives that close to the farm. Steve's a lovely man, very, very helpful. He's an international player. He works 15, 16 hours a day, 6 days a week. He's a workaholic, and he's well-versed in lots of different types of media, music, writing, production, all sorts of things, really.
Wow, sounds very talented. Now, 12 Doors is going to become either a TV series or a film, I believe. Can you give us an update on where you are with that?
Yes, again, going back to Steve Eggleston, he said from day one, he saw the potential in what 12 Doors was about, really. He could see where it was going to go from early on. It was always going to be more than just a novel, a paperback novel that you buy to take on holiday with you or on a train journey with you. It was always going to be more than that. It's far bigger than that. Steve has got some contacts in Los Angeles and, of course, lots of contacts in London. What we've developed so far, or what the team have developed so far, because there's around 8 people now working on the 12 Doors project, it has moved on a long way from the 70,000 words that's between the pages. Steve's contacts in LA, they've now produced something called a TV Bible, which some listeners might be aware of. I certainly wasn't until I've looked it up. A script has been produced around 12 Doors. Social media, of course, my Facebook has really rocketed over the past few months. It's now over 4,500 people and growing every day. I'm in contact with at least 20 fire service, fire rescue type Facebook groups. So they have regular updates when I push material out. So the TV Bible's done. Steve's contact in LA, a lady called Leslie Bates, is now working behind the scenes so, so hard. I have regular Zoom meetings with Leslie and Steve, almost one a week, one every 2 weeks. Leslie, of course, is always working on material, including 12 Doors. And the plan is to have the trailer filmed, James, in Hampshire, June or July of this year, which will coincide with a song that is coming out about 12 Doors. I heard the draft version of the song literally an hour ago. The guy doing it is in the recording studio mid-May. By the end of May, it will be polished, mixed, and finished. It'll open with fire sirens sounding, and it will close with fire sirens sounding. It's a ballad-type song with a heavy rock beat and that beating heart rhythm running through the whole song. So that will coincide, the song will coincide with the release of the trailer, so they will go hand in hand. So then we are in a really strong position then to pitch our package to TV production companies to demonstrate to them what we have. That's the plan.
That all sounds so exciting.
It is moving at pace, and all day today I've spent at least 8 or 9 hours involving work around 12 Doors. I sometimes have to pinch myself that this is happening, but it is happening.
Yeah, that's amazing. So has anything taken you by surprise about being an author?
Not really. It is incredibly hard work to get to the author stage. I didn't find it easy. It's a 2-year slog because, of course, my idea of something might be different to your idea of something. So we need to find some common ground, which we've done. So it's a constant meeting after meeting, week after week, update after update, draft after draft. So there's been a few bumps in the road, for sure, because that's life. But you need to find a way around them or over them or under them to get past some obstacles that present themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like it's been a really fascinating journey so far, and it sounds like it's just the beginning of your journey. So thank you so much for coming on the Best Guest podcast to talk about 12 Doors and share your writing journey. So where can listeners go to connect with you and find out more about your book?
We have our website, 12doors.info, which is Steve's website. Everything about 12 Doors is on there. There are several pages, several tabs to click on. My agent, of course, Steve Eggleston, has his own website. And Steve Eggleston also runs a site called Hummingbird Motion Pictures. Again, 12 Doors is on that tab as well.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, I will put links to everything that you've mentioned in the show notes so people can click through and find you. And thank you so much for joining me again, Les.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you so much for listening to the Best Guest podcast today. I'll talk to you again in the next episode.